Morning. It's 11 minutes before 8 a.m. This is Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. Today is Wednesday, May 7th, 2014. I'm Melissa Marconi-Wenzel with Raven News. Questions remain in the death of a former Sitka resident who was found along a Juneau trail over the weekend. The body of 61-year-old Sandra Gelber is being sent to the State Medical Examiner's Office in Anchorage for an autopsy and hopefully some answers. Capital City Fire and Rescue responded at 4 p.m. Sunday to a 911 call about an unconscious woman, says Assistant Chief Ed Quinto.
A couple hikers reported to dispatch that they were on Salmon Creek Trail, and that they found a female in the water along one of the creeks along the trail, which is it was approximately about a mile up from the gate. And she was in the water. They brought her up, started doing CPR, and they called us.
The Salmon Creek Trail runs behind Bartlett Hospital, where Gelber was employed as a physical therapist. Quinto says Gelber was found approximately 100 yards past where the road is washed out and about 40 feet off the trail downhill. He says she was unconscious and in critical condition. It's unknown how long she was in the water before she was found.
It appears like she was either hiking or jogging up there. She was dressed in jogging clothes. And we don't know how she got into the water.
An ambulance transported Gelber to Bartlett Regional Hospital. She was pronounced dead there around 4:30 p.m. Bartlett spokesman Jim Strader says Gelber arrived at work Sunday morning and was done with her shift at 3 p.m.
We're kind of, you know, in shell shock, to be honest. And it's she was very, very well loved by all of her coworkers and her patients as well.
Gelber joined Bartlett in 2009. Prior to that, she was at Sitka Community Hospital for many years, where she raised her family. A statement sent to hospital employees by interim CEO Jeff Egbert described Gelber as an avid outdoors person, and she died doing what she loved best, out on the trail, appreciating the beautiful place we call home. Gelber leaves behind husband Tim Riley and two college-aged children. The Sitka School Board bid fond farewells to 24 staff members Monday night. The board met for its final regular meeting during the school year. A reception for retirees was held just prior to the meeting. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
Eight teachers are retiring from the district, eight classified staff members are leaving or retiring, and seven certified teachers or administrators are moving on to new jobs. One person who is both retiring and taking a new job is Superintendent Steve Bradshaw. Board President Lon Garrison offered a personal tribute.
It's been a wonderful opportunity to sit at this board table and work with somebody of your stature and your professional ability. I remember the first day I came on this board, and the very first meeting was voting whether or not we were going to go 3A or 4A. And that was a tough meeting. But it wasn't too long after that that I realized that I call me crazy, but I do enjoy doing this work. I think it's some of the best work we can do. And I think you're one of the finest educators I've ever met. So thank you very much.
Bradshaw is retiring in Alaska, but moving to Montana to close out his career in the state where he started over 30 years ago. He's accepted the job of superintendent of Columbia Falls Schools, a district of about 2,000 students near Kalispell. Bradshaw has been superintendent in Sitka for 13 years. For 3 years prior to that, he was principal of the high school. His wife, Sandy, is retiring from her elementary teaching job at Kikushihin and not taking a new job. Steve Bradshaw says, "We flipped a coin and I lost." On a more serious note, Bradshaw said that staff longevity is important to stability in the schools, and he reminded the board that his career in Sitka could have been much shorter.
I thank you because there were times that some of the things that happened, it would have been very easy to fire a superintendent. All seriousness, I look at some of the things, and they are not easy things, and there's no quick, easy answer to some of the problems. But if you get enough good people sitting around the table, most of the time you can get those problems solved, and that's what it takes. And I think that you've got the right people.
Bradshaw applauded the hire of incoming Superintendent Mary Wagner, the promotion of Blatchley Assistant Principal Robin Taylor to Assistant Superintendent, and the rehiring of Karen Macklin as Principal of the high school. Referring to the adoption of the Common Core and new state education standards, Bradshaw said it was going to be easy for members of the community to become negative. He told the board that consistency in staff and board would allow the district to function through a hectic 3 or 4 years. And Bradshaw can't really overstate his own longevity. While he's held the top job in Sitka, he told the board that Juneau has had 4 superintendents, Kodiak 3, Mount Edgecombe High School 4, and Ketchikan 2. The city of Sitka has gone through 4 administrators in Bradshaw's tenure, and he's seen 3 commissioners of education. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
With the close of the 28th legislature last month, KCAW is checking in with Sitka's state representatives. In 2013, Jonathan Christ Tompkins went to Juneau as a 23-year-old novice lawmaker. He returned last week at the end of his freshman term as the sponsor of a successful native languages bill that got national attention. Christ Tompkins is up for re-election in November. He stopped by KCAW and spoke with Rachel Walholtz.
Ask Jonathan Christ Tompkins what's on his agenda this summer. And he says...
Oh, all sorts of stuff. Do you mind if I get my phone?
Christ Tompkins is a man on the move. He's wearing a Boston Marathon shirt with running shorts and sneakers. And when he talks policy, his enthusiasm overflows into emphatic hand gestures. Ask what he's paying attention to right now, and you get a whole list.
Okay, starting at 17, ending at 35. What is that? 18 different items.
That's 18 issues that he and his staff want to dig into over the summer to see if there's legislation they can introduce next year. That is, if he wins re-election in November and returns to Juneau next January. The list includes dealing with derelict boats, helping small breweries like Sitka's Baranoff Island Brewing Company cut through red tape, and finding ways to increase the number of fishing permits held in-state instead of by fishermen in Washington and Oregon. One thing he's really excited about...
Here's another one that I'm personally very fond of is looking at insurance law in Alaska.
Yep, insurance law. He'd like to see car insurance based on the number of miles a person drives, which would lower costs for people in rural Alaskan towns that don't have big road systems. If there's a theme here, it's a kind of legislative modesty. These aren't sort of grand ideological things that you're excited about.
My job is to make people's lives better. And... there are so many ways to do that, and you don't have to wage ideological warfare to make Alaska a better place to live. There are these concrete, applicable ideas that should be bipartisan, that should unite people. So, I mean, to me, that's what really gets me excited, things like car insurance, because that affects anyone who owns a car and, you know, would have a special benefit to Alaskans.
Christ Tompkins says this approach guided his time in Juneau. As a freshman and a member of the Democratic minority, he came into office with pretty much no clout. He dealt with this his first year with a deliberate strategy of doing nothing. He didn't try to pass any legislation, instead reaching out to all 59 of his fellow lawmakers and deciding he would only introduce bills that drew bipartisan support. That approach, he said, paid off in his second year.
We have the smallest bicameral legislature in the nation, so arguably more than any other state in the United States, you can get a lot of stuff done in Alaska based on the strength of personal relationships, regardless of your caucus, regardless of whether you're rural or urban, regardless of whether you're a Democrat or a Republican.
This year, Christ Tompkins introduced 2 bills that made it through the legislature. One creates a state holiday recognizing Tlingit civil rights leader Walter Soboloff. The other recognizes 20 Alaska Native languages as official state languages. Christ Tompkins said the Native language bill alone makes the last 2 years worth it.
When you think about the kind of legacy you can leave with your life, like a measurable impact on the world that, I mean, you can, you know, think of in concrete terms, trying to help save a language or revitalize a language, which is a way of looking at and understanding the world of immense meaning to so many people, but especially the people of that culture, that's profound.
Christ Tompkins' next challenge will be a run for re-election. His House district has been redrawn. Haines and Metlakatla are out, while Northern Prince of Wales and Petersburg are in. And Petersburg Republican Stephen Samuelson has said he'll run for the seat. Christ Tompkins says he'll campaign the same way he did the first time around, door to door. One of the things he'll be talking about is his support for the referendum this summer to repeal SB 21, the new oil tax regime passed by the legislature last year. Christ Tompkins argues that SB 21 is a major giveaway to oil companies.
They're our partners, but they're not our friends. There's a difference between those two. And the state, you know, trust but verify, as Ronald Reagan would say. And I feel the state needs to, you know, be rigorous with its verification. When we're talking about our sovereign resource, the biggest source of revenue for the state of Alaska. And I think there's some red flags that are out there that, you know, need to be investigated.
Just add it to the list. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Rachel Waldholz.
And as Sitka businesses ramp up for the summer season, KCAW's Emily Foreman visited one of the seasonal stores, the Sitka Fur Gallery, and sent this audio postcard.
Hey, Andy, what do you want to do with these slippers?
Okay, we could probably find a box upstairs. That reindeer was in with the reindeer skin back in that room, too, so.
Hey, what's your name?
My name's Andy.
Andy.
Nichols.
And who are you in this context?
I'm one of the store managers, and we're building the store. Every year we close it down at the end of the summer, and every year around this time we have to bring everything back in and set it up again.
So what's like left to do? What's on the list?
Everything. A lot. We're running a little late this year. We should have all this done by now. So we'll be ready and open for the morning though. We got a good crew. We're working hard.
We got everything in here yesterday and now we're just frantically setting up for the first ship tomorrow. So.
What's your name?
James.
Are you like a fur enthusiast?
I'm a fur. That's a good way to put it. Yeah, I'm passionate about what we sell here.
People come to Sitka and they expect maybe to purchase something that is fur.
Yeah, people, you know, you go on vacation, you go shopping, and if something piques your interest.
No, I mean, it caught my eye. I'm not like a fur person, but I was like,
well,
I had to come in.
With the women, you know, if it's shiny, soft, or smells good, it's a good product. And especially an industry like this in the town that started the fur trade in Alaska. This is a great location. A lot of people wait their whole lives until they go on their Alaska trip to buy a fur coat.
And that was Emily Foreman from the Sitka